भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्ठम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमोम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महाभजन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते। रक्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त बृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 महाराज निमी मेट्स दी नाइन युगेंद्रज టెక్స్ట్ 43. ఇతి అచ్యుతాంఘ్రిం భజతోనువృత్యా భక్తిర్విరక్తిర్భగవతోదః. భవంతి వై భాగవతస్య రాజం తతః పరాం శాంతిముపైతి సాక్షాత్. ఇతి అచ్యుతాంఘ్రిం భజతోనువృత్యా భక్తిర్విరక్తిర్భగవతో ప్రబోధః. భవంతి వై భాగవతస్య రాజం తతః పరాం శాంతిముపైతి సాక్షాత్. ఇతి అచ్యుతాంఘ్రిం భజతోనువృత్యా భక్తిర్విరక్తిర్భగవతో ప్రబోధః. భవంతి వై భాగవతస్య రాజం తతః పరాం శాంతిముపైతి సాక్షాత్. Matajis. Thus, Achyuta, of the infallible Supreme Lord, Angrim, the feet, Bhajataha, for one who is worshipping, Anuvrittya, by constant practice, Bhaktihi, devotion, Viraktihi, detachment, Bhagavat Parbodhaha, knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Bhavanti, they manifest. Why? Indeed, Bhagavatasya, for the devotee, Rajan, Okin Nimi, Tataha, then, Param Shantim, Supreme Peace, Upaiti, he attends Shakshat directly. Translation purported by humble servants of Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, the devotee who worships the lotus feet of the infallible personality of Godhead with constant endeavor thus achieves unflinching devotion, detachment and experienced knowledge of the personality of Godhead. In this way, the successful devotee of the Lord achieves supreme spiritual peace. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.71, Vihaya kama niha sarvan pumsam charati nispraha nirmamo nirahankaraha sasantim adhigachyati. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and who is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. Srila Prabhupada comments, to become desireless means not to desire anything for sense gratification. In other words, desire for becoming Krishna conscious is actually desirelessness. There is a similar statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ateva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakali Asanta. Because the devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruity workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Generally, there are three classes of living entities afflicted with selfish desire. These are the Bhuktikamis, Muktikamis and Siddhikamis. Bhuktikami refers to those ordinary persons who desire money and everything money can buy. Such a primitive mentality is based on the desire to enjoy and social prestige. When a living being becomes frustrated with this hallucination, he takes to the path of speculative philosophy and analytically tries to track down the source of the illusion. Such a person is called Muktikami because he does to negate material illusion and merge into the impersonal spiritual state, free from anxiety. The Muktikami is also motivated by a personal desire, although the desire is something more elevated. Similarly, the Siddhikami or the mystic yogi who desires the spectacular mystic power, spectacular powers of mystic yoga, such as reaching one's hand across the world or making oneself smaller than the smallest or lighter than the lightest, is also infected by material or selfish desire. Therefore it is said, Sakali Ashanta. If one has any personal desire, whether it be material, philosophical or mystic, he will be Ashanta or ultimately frustrated, because he will see himself as the central object of satisfaction. This egocentric concept is in itself illusory and therefore ultimately frustrating. On the other hand, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ateva Shanta. A devotee of Lord Krishna is Niskama. He has no personal desire. His only desire is to please Krishna. Lord Shiva himself has praised the outstanding quality of the pure devotees of the Lord by stating, Narayana parasarve nakutaschana vibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshinaha. A person who is devoid of the who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, is not afraid of anything, elevation to heavenly kingdom, condemnation to hell, or liberation from material bondage, all appear the same to a devotee. Although the impersonalist philosopher proposes that everything is one, the devotee of the Lord is actually Tulyartha Darshi, or empowered with the vision of oneness. The devotee sees everything as the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and therefore desires to engage everything in the service of the Lord for the Lord's satisfaction. Since the devotee does not see anything as dvitiya or outside the scope of Lord's potency, he is happy in any situation. Having no personal desire, the devotee of Krishna is actually santa or peaceful because he has achieved the perfection of life, love of Krishna. He is actually situated in his eternal constitutional position under the direct shelter of shelter and protection of the omnipotent Parameshwar Krishna. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this verse ends the answer given by the first of the nine Yogendras Kavi to Maharaj Nimi's first question, what is the highest good? Hare Krishna. So today we are concluding the discussion between the instructions given by the first Navayogendra Kavi to King Nimi. So I seek blessings of all devotees, assembled devotees, so that we can speak this Paramahansa Samhita. That Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for Paramahamsas. I can just try to speak something. this 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, this very nice topic comes where the King Nimi speaks to Navayugandharas. And especially the part where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is also predicted in this section. And this is spoken none other than Narada Muni to Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna. It so happens that Krishna comes back to Dwarka after the Mahabharata war, and the time to wind up his pastime comes. And Vasudev, he is such an exalted devotee, he could sense that this time is coming. It's like just before Krishna came, everything was very nice. You know, the description is there, 10th canto. The flow of the wind, the trickling of the water, everything becomes, the chirping of birds, everything becomes very soothing and nice. Just about Krishna appear. When Krishna was present, everything was very nice, but the pure devotees, they could feel something is wrong. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he saw many omens just as Krishna was passing away from this world. And he was asking Arjuna many questions. What's wrong? So Vasudev, he understood and he felt that he has not done his work as a human being properly, that he is in bondage to family and children. And he is thinking, probably he is not going to get any mukti. Prabhupada always asks this question. Even Vasudev had that fear. very strange. He is saying to Narada Muni, Narada Muni just happens to come. Narada Muni doesn't leave Dwarka, because he wants to take Krishna's association constantly. He just, normally the rishis, the sadhus, they keep roaming. They don't stay at one place for the benefit of others. They live for others. But in this situation, Narada actually stays in Dwarka. He doesn't go anywhere, contrary to his nature. Actually, he was cursed to roam all over. But here we see he kind of stayed there because Krishna was there. He didn't want to miss that. So once he went to see Vasudev, and he's speaking his mind, what he was thinking, that how he is not going to get any mukti because he's attached to family. So speaking to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is actually very nicely answering his question and doubts. It is very strange. Actually, Vasudev he speaks that he and Devaki have been doing severe austerity to have Krishna as their child, because he was aspiring to get a son, therefore he thinks that he is materialistic. Although the desire was to get Krishna's son, Supreme Lord assembled, because the desire was there to get a son. He is feeling that his job is he's not pure. And Prabhupada, he explains, or the acharyas, they explain that Atri Muni, he prayed to Krishna that I want to have a son like you, not you. So because he wanted a son like Krishna, so therefore it is more materialistic. So these are the extent to which the purity is judged. And the pure devotees, because they are very humble in nature, they always see that where they are going wrong like that. So Vasudeva is speaking like this, and although he is attached to Krishna, but he is afraid because he thinks that I offered prayers to Lord Ananta to get a son as Krishna's son, but I didn't offer prayer to get mukti because I was afraid, because I am attached to my family. I didn't offer that prayer. So many people are afraid of liberation. This is the nature of material world, where we kind of love to bound ourselves. There is a strange phenomena through which we love to bound ourselves to miseries. Yehi sangsparsa javhoga dukkha yeno evate. Lord Krishna says in Gita that the pleasure that people want to obtain in this world through sense gratification is the source of miseries. It is the source of miseries. And everybody has this experience. There is no one who doesn't have this experience. Because everybody tried some enjoyment. Those who are liberated, they don't try it, so they don't have that experience of misery. But all those who try to experience pleasure through sense gratification ultimately end up in miseries. Lord Buddha, when he appeared, he said that if you want to destroy miseries, then destroy karma. Destroy desire to enjoy. If you destroy that, then your miseries will be destroyed automatically. And this is true. This is very true. So, in this shloka, these bhukti, siddhi, karmi, and all these things are discussed, how their desire, kama, therefore they suffer. There is no shanti. Because if there is suffering, there cannot be shanti. Shanti means no suffering. Peace means no suffering. We cannot have suffering as well as peace. Both cannot be possible. So the root cause is actually the kama. And that's what exactly Vasudeva was afraid of. He is thinking and he is praying that, is it a desire that I didn't pray for mukti? Am I going to get stuck? Krishna is going to go away. He is going to wind up. Will I get stuck here again without Krishna? So all these kind of various thoughts were passing through his mind, very genuine, naturally. And he is asking this question to Narada Muni. The Narada Muni speaks about the meeting between Nimi and Navayogendra, which happened even prior to this time. So this is Dwapara Yuga. This discussion between Nimi and Navayogendra happened even prior to that. So prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came much before. It was already known that this Yuga would come. Mahaprabhu would come, and he actually came and went by. We are still here. But it's our good fortune by Prabhupada that we are able to see this whole sequence happening in front of us, so that we can appreciate and try to come out of these anxieties that Vasudeva is also expressing here. So why this kama comes? Because it is said that karanam guna sangarsa sad yashadvani janmasu, that a living entity, it takes part in many yonis because of constant association with the three modes of material nature. Karanam guna, modes of material nature, we are constantly associating with this nature. Actually, Atma, the spirit soul, has a different nature and the body has a different nature. The body is temporary, Atma is eternal. They don't get mixed at all. Just like oil and water, for example, don't mix. Actually, some mixing is there. There is an index in chemical, they have understood, chemical engineering and all. But for a particular example, they don't mix. They don't mix. Similarly, soul and material nature, spiritual, they don't mix. They're different. Two different nature. Krishna speaks about it. That this spiritual nature is different. One is temporary, the other is eternal. One is temporary, it begins and ends. The other is eternal, it's forever. So we are all spirit soul living in material bodies. So how do we know that actually we are spiritual, not material? There are very simple examples. One is that in this world we observe that everything is temporary. Everything has a beginning and end. Day begins, day ends. Night begins, night ends. Tree grows, they live for some time, they die. All animals, they live and die. Even the sun planet, they say it is going to die someday. It is going to exhaust the fuel. The whole universe is going to die. So, there is nothing in this creation under our observation that we see that it is permanent. Nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary. Then how do we plan for permanent happiness? If we are not eternal, we would never be able to plan it. Because we are eternal, because we are entities who are intended to live forever, therefore living in a temporary body, you plan for permanent happiness. That is our very nature. We don't die. We ever live. Because of these two different things, there is a sangharsa. So there is a clash, therefore there is a lot of frustration. Because we try to find permanent happiness from temporary objects. How can it be possible? So there is frustration. So bhukti kamis are the one who constantly seek happiness from temporary sense objects. And as a result, there is a wholesale disaster. There is a lot of frustration. Another thing is, this body appears to be living, but actually it's a dead body. We are living in, it's just jada. Earth, water, air, for ether. It's a combination of that. So, how this mixing happens, they say, just like this moon is shining on a full moon night, and this river is flowing, you know, some river is flowing, the reflection comes, and the river immediately becomes effulgent. It looks like moon, white complexion. So, although there is an association, but there is actually no association. Because the moon goes, the river will be dark. Similarly, when the Atma leaves the body falls. But because Atma's presence is there, that body appears to be living. Just like the river appears to be, you know, effulgent. So there is actually no mixing. The spiritual and material, they cannot mix. They are completely mutually exclusive. They don't mix. But it appears to be so, and it appears so real, that we forget the real nature of Atma. So it is a very difficult stage to overcome. So therefore the sages, the well-wishers, Supreme Lord Himself, they gradually guide the people how to overcome from this temporary attachment, which is the cause of all miseries. So therefore there are various system, because then the question of this, because this thing which Kavi he is speaking, about this answering the questions to King Nimi, he actually says what I'm going to speak is called Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma. The dharma means basically nature, qualities. Right? Dharma is basically nature, the properties of that particular substance. So the nature of Atma is, as we discussed, is permanent. The nature of body is temporary. But because we have identified ourselves with the body so strongly that our nature is more towards the material side than the spiritual side. So therefore the instruction, the varnasram dharma, that is actually designed by the Lord Himself, is meant to, while engaging in material activity, how to disentangle ourselves. That is the whole process. So everybody has a dharma, or acquired dharma, from the prakriti, from the material nature, by association. Karanam guna sangarsa. So that because of association with material nature, we have acquired certain nature from the matter, it is acquired, and that is sometimes called as swadharma. Swadharma means that acquired nature. Whereas the soul's dharma, Atma's nature, is actually Sanatana dharma, eternal. So these two dharma, we have to somehow bring to a balance or align them in a way that the Sanatana dharma is fulfilled through our material dharma. So that is the whole plan, to somehow align the material. Now sometimes we go to the temples, we go to the many demigods, many devatas, we go and we very, very strongly pray to fulfill our material desires. Actually, a spiritual step should be taken, we should go to God, which is go to higher powers, to help us disentangle, not to entangle. Sometimes we use the advantage of Sanatana Dharma, that means going to Krishna, for even going to Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord, He is the Eternal Lord, He is the Lord of all Lords, Parama Krishna, Parameshwara. When we approach Him, we should utilize this Sanatana Dharma, that is the nature of the soul, and disentangle from material nature, but rather we use that aspect to increase our material entanglement. So it should be the other way. That is the point Bhagavad Gita tries to bring in everybody's mind, that when you speak of Sanatana Dharma, the Varnashram Dharma, according to Varna and Ashrama, certain qualities we have, to engage that, not to increase the attachment to material life or to decrease it. So if one is engaged according to one's nature, then he gets some satisfaction because he's properly engaged. But then understanding that I am engaged in a particular way should help me to disentangle. Why? Because there is not much frustration. Because if we try to do something that is not our nature, there will be a lot of additional frustration. Okay. So if we come out of that and engage ourselves in our own nature, then that frustration will not be there. There is more space, more time to meditate on Krishna. Think about spiritual life. Go higher and higher and higher. So that is just the Varnashrama. But then Bhagavad Dharma is what? Is that where Krishna is in the prominent picture, where bhakti comes into the picture. Srila Vaishnava Chakra Thakurpada says that this Bhagavad Dharma, Varnashrama, can be spoken by many people, but because Bhagavad Dharma has bhakti element in it, it is confidential. And the subject matter is personally spoken by Krishna Himself, many places. And what Srila Prabhupada is offering to all of us is a process through which we have to bring Krishna in our life. and increase our attachment to Krishna, introduce bhakti in our life, and gradually become free from fear. Vasudeva, he is father of Lord Sri Krishna. It's an exalted position, but still he has fear. It is said that fear is our constant companion in the material world. Even a child, small child, innocent, who knows nothing about the whole creation, is fearful. Right? It is said there are four things that bound us to this world. That is, ahara, nidra, vaya, maithuna. Four things. But the other three, ahara, sometime we feel hungry, but once the hunger is over, we are not bothered about it. Similarly, nidra, once we get some sleep, it's over. Maithuna, same thing. But fear is constantly present. Not only that, there is a fear for losing, you know, sleep. There is a fear for not having food. So other things also include fear. So fear is such a prominent emotion that everybody goes through. To the extent that even Vasudeva is experiencing that fear. So these verses helps one to overcome fear. Now Lord Ram, actually when he says that Abhayam, what is that shloka? Very nice shloka. This is the one who surrenders to me, I award them Abhayam, right? Lord Ram says, while dealing with that Vibhishan comes, at that point, Lord Ram explains, there was a meeting between Hanuman, Angad and Sugriva, all those were sitting, there was a meeting whether to accept him or not. So to accept division or not, there was a meeting was going on. And some said because he has discarded his own brother, rejected his own brother at the time of need, how can we accept him? Many reasons were given because of such, and he is a Rakshas Kula, we cannot understand, anytime he can just go away, we can't trust him. And some other people say, because Hanumanji says, I have seen that place and I have seen the vision, he was praising you, he was defending me, and therefore we should accept him. But Lord Ram says, it really doesn't matter. What is the glory of a great person? If somebody comes to him, not qualified, comes to him seeking shelter, and if he rejects him because he is not qualified, then what is the greatness? If he takes somebody because he is qualified, then what is the greatness? He is already qualified. In both situations, doesn't make any sense. The greatness of that personality is so because just because somebody is coming, whether qualified or not qualified, accepting, that is his greatness. So Lord Ram says, he has come, how can I deny? I'll never deny. In fact, anybody says, I am yours, instantly award Abhayam, fearlessness. That means mukti basically. So when I heard that word, many years back, I was thinking, why is saying Abhayam? There are so many things to give in life. You know, bhakti or mukti and all those words, he is saying Abhayam. But that's a very nice, right term because we are in fear. That's the instant relief, no more fear. Instant relief. Then what else comes in life is bonus. So Lord Ram says, I instantly give Abhayam. So these verses, they are speaking about a path, a process through which one can attain the true liberation. And that is, he says, bhakti. By offering devotional service to lotus feet of Krishna. And then he gradually comes, and this is the concluding verse, but then here also he speaks about kayena manasa bacha svabhava. That verse is there. It's just in the beginning of his teachings, Kavi, he speaks about this verse where the svabhava again comes into the picture. That suddenly one cannot become, unless that Lord's blessing is there, one cannot become pure devotee overnight. It is the highest thing, because we are discussing how the bhuktis, the jnanis, the yogis, even they are hunted, they are afflicted by desires of their own. Even mukti kami means their desire mukti. The desire, that desire itself is binding. This is their own personal desire. Whereas bhakta, they constantly try to fulfill the desire of Krishna. And that is highest, and that is definitely not easy. Therefore, the next question that he asks is, how do I know the bhaktas? Then he speaks about gradation of bhakta. Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama. So just by coming to devotional service, one doesn't become a pure devotee. So then Kanishtha means, doesn't mean that one is to be kind of looked down upon or rejected. Whenever you see the caste system, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or the ashramas, sannyas, vanaprastha, grihastha, brahmachari, or kanishtha, madhyama, uttama, or uttam, madhyam, kanishtha. When you speak all this gradation, these are not created to increase differences, but these are created to bring, to help people come to high and higher status, and feel that experience of bliss in, you know, in Krishna consciousness, in bhakti, that perfection has to come. So when we say somebody is in class 1, it does not mean that that particular student or child is a very low, you know, low class mehay and low class and all those. We don't say like that. Standard 1, it's just a matter of time when that child will come to, you know, 10th, 12th, graduation, post-graduation, PhD, postdoc, never ends. Right? So similarly, when you say kanishtha, doesn't mean that here is a person to be looked down upon. No. There has to be an internal appreciation for that person, that he has taken up some process. Right? Now this particular person is chanting Hare Krishna. So the moment we see that, Rupa Goswami says, we should appreciate that person within the mind. Of course, we will not take the association in a sense. In the sense, we don't want to go down to class standard 1. Suppose you are in 10th standard. We don't want to go down to standard 1. We want to go upper and upper. So that association is not going to help a person in Madhyamadhikar. It's not going to help him. Suppose you are in 10th standard. You should not associate standard 1 kids, because it's not going to help you, that's all. It's not that you have to look down upon that person. But at the same time, it's our responsibility to encourage that kid to grow. Help to grow. That's the responsibility. And the same, everything, all divisions are like that. So, here, he's saying gradually building up how whatever you do, it should be offered to Narayana. Narayanam samarpayami. Then whatever I am doing, of course, we should not do any nonsense since it is offered to Narayana. Right? But that has to be done. Suppose you are offering something, we want to offer something, we'll offer something good. So all the activities, naturally they fall in the purview of dharma, purview of shastra. And then when one performs those things and offer it to Krishna, then that is bhakti. And gradually when one does that, that experience of Krishna, a direct experience of Krishna, will increase slowly, slowly, slowly to the point that one actually experiences the Lord. But as we go through this process, it is explained that there is nothing in this world which is without a price. No? And there is nothing in this world that can be achieved to perfection without practice. So in bhakti has to be proposed as, you have to practice devotional service. Practice. You have to practice chanting. Practice is something. If we observe in our limited lifespan, our experiences, we would not achieve success in any field without a practice. Whether it is sports, even mathematics, you have to practice. Just because intelligence is there is not going to be sufficient. You have to practice. You have to keep doing the sums again and again and again. Many different variety, many different angles. Such a subject which requires strong logic and intelligence requires a lot of practice. Then what to speak of music, art, what to speak of, you know, sports, where skill is very, very prominent and important. So all, any activity you take in this world requires constant practice, and lot of things are tested through practice. So similarly, because we have Krishna is helping us to come out of it, but then there will be tests. So someone may ask, okay, well, I have come and I have started chanting Hare Krishna and I have expressed my desire to serve Krishna. Why there has to be tests? No, bol diya na abhi Bhagavan ke paas hum aaye and have started the process. Why Krishna is doubt? How is he taking test? Just help us to go, come out of it. Now we expressed. But actually, this test helps to increase the. It acts both ways. It helps you to understand that how much we are attached, or how much we are, and how much our bhakti status is. We may be thinking we are pure devotees, but then we understand that we are not. In one sense, in another sense, the test actually helps us to come closer to Krishna. Because when we go through difficulty and still serve Krishna, then the intimacy, the closeness actually increases. We have to know Krishna more and more. So the test is given only to help a person to come closer to Krishna. That's the idea of test. Otherwise, it's not like the test that the professor takes in the, you know, like Gauranga was saying, how in IIT they test, the professor test. Their intention is to make the student very humble. They would give the question paper, say, go to home, go to library, go to your friends, go to your seniors. And after 2 days, you return the answer sheet in my post box. Those days, emails were not there. Nowadays, they post it online, answer sheets. Anyway, so that was not the attitude to make the student very humble or fail him in the exam. So you don't know anything, you are useless. That's not the test is given. Krishna also wants others to see the greatness of that devotee by testing. So many things happen in the test, but tests do come. It's throughout the sastra, there are so many things are there, this test and testing. So Krishna gives these tests, and each of us has to go through it. Recently I was meeting one devotee from Khargar Iskan temple. His name is Vasudev Prabhu. And he was saying, we were just discussing something, and he was saying about how Krishna speaks about this test in Pandava Gita. He doesn't speak it in Bhagavad Gita because it is in a war field, and many people gather to hear that Bhagavad Gita, if they would hear about those tests, probably they would run away from Krishna. So in privacy, Krishna speaks that he actually takes test. In fact, in Bhagavatam also he says that I take away the, what is that sloka Prabhupada quotes? Tasyam Harishyatat Dhanam Sane. Harishyatat Dhanam Sane. That slowly, slowly, slowly I take away all the wealth. Slowly, slowly. Takes away all the wealth. And in similar tone he says in this particular shloka, he says, Yastu man bhajate nityam, those who do worship to me every day, nityam, constantly, karami bandhu nichyada. That first thing I do is what? I take away all his friends, relatives. So all ISKCON devotees, the experience, at least the friends go away. You know, it's difficult to keep friends. And they want to go to restaurant and we don't go to restaurants. We say only Govindas. And they take time. Like one Hare Krishna Prabhu's one friend, she is a judge or something like that. Or she is a top government officer. She was telling, once we were sitting together, she was telling, one of his friend came, he is a non-veg addict. Nothing goes to his mouth if it is not non-veg. She brought him to Govinda's, but he was sitting and said, I am not going to eat anything here, just give me some water, that's it. You eat whatever you want to eat. When my time comes, I will go eat somewhere. You just eat. You enjoy. And she just ordered this Goloka Express stuffed pizza with a lot of cheese and everything. And it was looking very opulent, succulent, and it was almost looking like a non-veg thing. And he said, what is this? You know, it's just a pizza I'm just eating. You relax with water. So after few minutes, he saw the whole thing being eaten in front of him. And I said, would you like to try one piece? He said, okay, just give me one piece. Let me try, what is it? Then the first bite he took, bring one more pizza. Instantly ordered. Maybe gradually become vegetarian, who knows. But the point is, our friends go away just by seeing our lifestyle. This is a test. This is a huge test actually. It's take a lot of energy. Those who are preaching Krishna consciousness, they know it's take a lot of energy just to counsel the students or the people, new people who come, that how we should practice, at the same time don't go away from your friends and things like that. We try to balance it, but it is impossible. Due course of time, friends, even relatives, those whom we actually love, Arjuna, didn't want to kill even Dushasana and Duryodhana because they are with Bhishma. Bhishma, he loves Bhishma, so they are with him, so he didn't want to kill them. That is this kind of attachment. It's very difficult. Then he says, Vittam tasya harameham. Vittam means wealth, money. First I take away relatives, friends, then I take away the money. Then with that also he is not happy. Krishna, he wants to even test for. Then he says, Ati dukkhena jivate. Then I give him a lot of miseries also. Okay, abhi shanti se chhod do unko, friends gaye, paisa gaya, sab gaya. Now let them live little happily. No, Ati dukkha. I give intense miseries, I give. Ati dukkha. That means sometimes they don't commit mistakes, but they're accused. You know? Your seva is like that, you know, to clear that. So ati dukkha means they just constant miseries will chase them. Then he says, santape. That means santape se sukanto. Means the miseries and santape means lot of things, criticism, this and that. All this will keep happening. Yadiman na parityajyet. And after all this, if that person doesn't give me up and continues to serve me, Radami Sopadam Chapi, then I give offer my lotus feet to that person. So we can understand from this verse where we exactly stand and how far we need to travel. But then as it is said that how we have to engage our nature gradually, that thing is there. We have to engage ourselves and offer everything to Narayan. Then gradually come, and all these tests will come. As it comes, we face them. Sometimes we fail, sometimes we succeed. Then as we succeed, when the success, one successful, becomes successful, at that point only, Dadamisu Padam Chapi, Devanam Abhyudhullavam, he says, it is even more difficult for the devatas to get. What to speak of any other persons? If the devatas don't get it, so therefore, because the reward is so high, it is so high, which even devata cannot get. You know, what devatas don't have? No, we don't have anything, they have everything. It's like that. What do they don't have? They have everything. The whole material nature is under their control. But even they are not qualified to get it. What to speak of others? So therefore, he says, unless we go through these rigors, we are not going to get it. But then, once one achieve it, then there is nothing else to achieve. Hare Krishna, I'm sorry, I didn't thought that I'll speak so long, but somehow it's just over. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki. We'll not take any questions, but anybody has any doubts, we can talk to me. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.